Hi there. Well, now that you're here, we're all in the company of your cool aunts. I'm Sam.
And I'm Ted.
And this is the Your Cool Aunts podcast, where we present the wine merchant. We're following the lives and times of cool aunts through Claire Julio's diary. Welcome back. If you're new here, check out our website. There's lots of good stuff there. The backstory, there's tons of good stuff. Pictures, everything. All of Claire's diary entries. And so go ahead, check us out. We have a diary entry to get into today, and
we have a continuation to get into.
yeah, this is ongoing,
just,
as they say.
Not just a diary entry, it's a continuation of a diary entry.
Yeah, it is, because this is getting very tense, like it's all leading up to something here, right? This is the investigation into a counterfeiting, and they're sorting things out. The wine merchant is sorting things out, as they say. Shall we start with Claire's note?
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
The precursor to the diary entry. Oh, I love this little subtitle. She says, "Tonight's the night."
What does she mean by
That's
that?
That's a song title.
Tonight's the night. Yeah, but what does she mean by that, tonight's the night?
She says, "Nieces, aunts, and friends, believe it or not, but it's only been about a month since I started working on the case of Alexander's missing wine. Add to this the out-of-the-blue call from Madame Delavigne. The excitement factor increased by tenfold, as did the stress levels. For me, anyway. I have gotten a little bit better at managing my own stress and not letting it immobilize me. And then again, I'm not sure if it's me or it's the fact that I always seem to have great people around me that neutralizes the tension and resultant stress. I do have a tendency to get too far into my own head, as they say. Brigitte just tells me not to take everything so damn seriously. According to her, it ruins the fun of it all. Thankfully, there will only ever be one Brigitte in my life, and Annalise. She's a gem for sure, too. I do hope I've managed to convey how much we all cherish her around here. Lately, in the course of my daydreaming, I was wondering if she'd like to come and visit with us in California for a month or so. She'd give Grace a run for her money, that's for sure. She'd fit right in with that gang. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I was just thinking of that.
She's,
they'll all be speaking French by then.
I could see her taking over the place. Oh, yeah. Anyway, she one more line. She says, back to reality. This is it. The time has come to execute our plan, l'opération, the operation, and kill at least two birds with this one stone we hold. Fingers crossed. Allons-y. Wait for me. I'll be back in a minute. CBJ.
She's so... Her little flourishes are funny sometimes.
Yeah. Well, the operation.
Talk about clandestine. At least it's not like Operation Red Hook or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Those
Operation
crazy names
Screaming
give,
Eagle.
Yeah, the crazy names they give these army type maneuvers.
Well,
so let's go.
Rather substantial diary entry here.
So fast your seatbelts.
It's time. Here we go. Even though we were very well prepared and equipped, not to mention very excited, night fell sooner than any of us wanted it to. The darkness was quick to settle in with the help of a thick cloud cover that had been around us for days now. It drizzled for a while, but then it let up before we needed to head out and wait. Finally, everyone was in place and ready. Eves was just starting on his shift, going through the paces of his usual routine, covering the same route through the village before finally settling in near the one roundabout in the village. Now, Eves is the policeman,
right?
So he's in on this, obviously. Annalise merged everyone into one open-line conference call. The tension was palpable, and I was sure the others could hear my heartbeat. I can almost hear it. All right, now here she gives us a little quote. She says, okay, this is it. Stay with your instructions. Wait. Do not proceed until you get your go-ahead from me and only me. And all of you. Every last one of you. Be careful out there. They're creeps. We are not. Annalise was really very good at this. You never know she hadn't done this for about 70 years now. Everything kicked off exactly as planned. In air quotes, the arrest of the tanker driver, holding him in the patrol car while he was handcuffed or ankle cuffed, whichever. The driver made the call to his wife while we were recording him, and he confessed everything he knew by telling her the entire story of his involvement. He was trying to make a little extra money driving the tanker truck. Marcus always paid him in cash, and he didn't seem to know a thing about counterfeiting. That would be the driver didn't seem to know a thing about counterfeiting, right? He said it didn't feel right and that he did suspect something, but he knew better than to ask any questions. He apologized to her repeatedly. He really was clueless about the crime. We all knew he shouldn't be the little guy who took the hit for this one. No, not this time, and never, ever on Annalise's watch, or Brigitte's for that matter.
This brings up one of those moral dilemmas, right? He must have sensed that there was something a little odd about being paid the way he was being paid.
Oh, come on. When somebody asks you, can you drive this load of Spanish wine into France overnight? Don't say anything.
I mean, he shouldn't take the hit, obviously.
You know, pick some little guy who's struggling. Right. You know, they know how to target people. Let's put it that way. Right. Ay, ay, ay. What did Annalise name him? Tomas the Trucker.
Tomas the Trucker.
We don't know his name.
T.T.
She continues. Claire continues. She says she was right. The operation was moving along swimmingly. Several hours passed now, and on cue from Annalise, Brigitte showed up at the bottling line extra early. Marcus attempted to ignore her by walking away and heading into the warehouse. But no, that didn't deter Brigitte. She stayed right on his heels, peppering him with questions, curious series of why this or that, and did you know? His annoyance was escalating rapidly. He checked his watch and then the cab of the truck every minute or so, looking for that driver to show up. Finally, Marcus walked out onto the dock and then down to the cab of the tanker truck to move it himself. And this is a quote, "The eagle has landed!" exclamation point. This was Brigitte's idea of texting humor in the moment. It's kind of funny, you know? The boys, meaning Alexander and Yves, moved into place to catch this criminal in the act. They videotaped every move Marcus made, disconnecting the hoses, backing the tanker truck out of the lot, parking it on the road shoulder almost exactly where Annalise predicted he would. I found it to be so odd that he took the time to set out those orange safety triangles behind the truck as required by law. Isn't it funny when somebody, you know, they're in the middle of a crime, they go, well, let's put the safety cones out, right?
Well, you don't want to raise any more suspicion.
She puts a little parenthetical as if he's a law-abiding citizen. The next surprise, he popped open the drain plug on the fuel tank, releasing all of the diesel fuel out onto the roadway. And he just walked away. Hmm. So much for observing the law. Why? What was this about? Was he punishing the driver? What's going on? Having caught it all on video, Yves whispered in French, "You're such a pig, and I'm going to make you pay for this, too." He set the running camera on the ground, and the two of them tackled Marcus with more force than necessary. Oh, I'll bet they did. They handcuffed him and dragged him back to Alex's car, where they literally threw him into the back seat. Oh, that's right, because the little driver guy is handcuffed into the patrol car,
right.
So they had to use the other car. Before they even reached the police station, he was pleading, almost begging to cooperate. Listening in on the open cell phone line, Annalise and Brigitte were having a roaring good time laughing while on mute. I think this was just a release of tension, and it was all funny in a way because it was playing out like every corny television cop show. Brigitte claimed first rights for the executive producer credit.
It does seem like a show. I could see it as a show.
And she says their levity was definitely a welcome relief at this moment. It does sound like a television show. Mm-hmm. Little coppers in the night.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd come up with an Annalise, though.
This is one of those limited episodes. You know, 10 episodes or something.
We'll get Claire to sell her diary to Netflix.
Amazon, yeah.
The Amazon.
Whoever, the highest bidder.
Okay, call me. All right, where are we? The next section is, she's got a little subtitle here. Claire says, "Going Rogue." Only a few minutes later, this is Claire speaking now. Only a few minutes later, I couldn't find Brigitte anywhere. And because everything was going down just as planned, I decided to ad lib a little by taking a very minor risk. Okay, Claire. She says she headed over to the loading docks. It was almost 7:30 at this point, and at any minute, the shipping trucks would arrive to pick up the wine, Alexander's wine. Hmm. Hurrying, I pulled the doors on the dock down and locked them into place. And then I hung the closed sign on the office door and went back to the loading dock. And the drivers were already there waiting. I told them that there had been an incident overnight, and unfortunately, we would not be shipping anything out today. Both of the drivers were burly looking, and this development enraged them. She writes, they scared the shit out of me. And then she's got a little parenthetical here. She said, I swear I could hear Annalise in my ear warning about the types of people we'd encounter. Remember, they're not like us. They'll kill you if you even get in their way. And just like in the movies on cue, the dim sound of police sirens approaching settled the issue. And off they went in their empty trucks. I knew Annalise was going to be annoyed and maybe a little bit pleased that I went ahead with my idea, even though I didn't get her clearance first. I was thinking, maybe hoping, she'd smile as she reprimanded me. I can't stand the thought of disappointing someone, especially Annalise. Well, then again, there are so many others who fall into this category, too. I can hear it. Na, 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 na.
That's what I was thinking of when you mentioned that. Like, oh, gosh, I feel like I'm in France again.
A couple of comments here. So yeah, all of this is coming to a head. There's only a few people involved. Marcus is running the whole bottling line with Brigitte's help. What is she doing? Taking bottles, putting them into boxes, off they go.
Yep.
And then they're shipping it out. So he's meeting himself coming back. He's doing like the job of four or five different people. Mm. And then the driver doesn't show up to pick up the tanker truck. So that's in the way. He's got to get the next shipment out.
Right.
So he moves the truck. This all goes down. They grab him, throw him into the car, and then he starts begging.
Well, I think what's interesting is there's, so they drain the tank, right? They drain the diesel.
Yeah. He moved the truck and then put it on the road and drained it. So right. He disabled the truck. Temporarily, okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was just being a real jerk move because, yeah, okay, driver, now figure it out. No, you'll have to get gas into this thing or diesel into this thing before you can even move. That, yeah. Except
punishment,
for,
right?
Yeah.
That was the point.
Yeah. Smart move. Hmm. Okay. Shall we continue?
Mm-hmm.
We're flying along here today. Okay. Meanwhile, back at the police station.
Meanwhile.
An hour or so later in the police interrogation room, Eves had started a, quote, conversation with a list of charges against Marcus. I never did find out his last name. It started with tax evasion, illegal importation of wine, misrepresentation of wine, counterfeiting, and best of all were the environmental charges for dumping the fuel. They're very serious about these kinds of things in France with a mandatory sentence and then huge fines. So his little zinger for the driver, you know, it was uncalled for.
They never think it's stupid when they're doing it.
I know. Yep. I think it's a great idea. So Claire says, Alexander agrees with me on this. Eves enjoyed every moment of that interrogation, including that extra dose of drama with reading all the charges. This cretin was definitely going to jail. So all he could do at that point was cooperate and hope to minimize his own exposure. She says he talked, meaning Marcus, he talked nonstop for hours. He gave up every detail Eves asked for and then some that he hadn't asked for. His answer to the final question was the only surprise, that he named names, the people behind the operation, and plenty of details, and photos from his cell phone. He showed them the photographs. And here again, Alexander agrees that he likely kept these records to protect himself. Criminals trust no one.
Of course he does. Yep. Of course he did.
Just in case. The old just in case.
You never know, right?
I can see something in the next paragraph, and I don't want to blow it. Let me just read it through. Claire says, the next day would be the most momentous day so far in Eve's blossoming career. That morning, he drove south into Paris with the chief of police right next to him in the passenger seat. He navigated through the city traffic he loathed, and finally, They found the address he was looking for, and the chief told him to park the car, put it right up there on the sidewalk. Laughing, the chief said, "Don't worry, we're not going to get ticketed. It's probably the only bit of fun we'll have today anyway." This address was a very posh office on the top floor of one of those houseman buildings on one of the very best streets of Paris. Inside, every inch was decorated with oriental carpets, original artwork on every surface, and secretaries who looked like runway models. I've been to an office like this. I just had this flashback. It was an advertising agency. And I walked in and went, oh.
Oh, I was thinking of a similar experience in Milan.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
With padded silk walls and parquet floors and original art on the walls.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yves was standing amidst all of this with the chief and waiting to see Robert Levesque. Only hours before, Marcus had positively identified him as the man behind the counterfeiting at the Andou Vineyard. Robert Levesque is Alexander's first cousin.
Oh.
It's him.
Oh.
It's an inside job, as they say. Wow.
Don't read ahead.
I'm not. I have something in my eye.
Just read it. Not
she
fair.
She says, the next section is a head start. This is Claire. She says, knowing that Yves would be showing up at Levesque's office the next morning, Alexander arrived in Paris before dawn to wait for his cousin Robert. He approached him from behind just as Robert was unlocking his outer office doors. Later that day, Alexander described in fascinating detail to me just how good an actor his cousin was at bluffing his way throughout their encounter. Then she goes back to what she was saying. She says, once inside and settled, Alexander simply said to him, "Listen closely, because I'm not going to repeat myself, Robert. I know everything about your little operation at our vineyard." And then he offered Robert a deal. And the deal was that if, and only if, Robert signed over all of the vineyard deeds and property to Alexander right then and there, no exceptions, then Alexander would not move forward with the allegations about the counterfeiting of his wine with the Spanish tanker wine.
Oh, it's like a qualified immunity kind of situation.
However, at this point, Robert Levesque believed that Alexander did not know anything about his wine being sold as counterfeit Delavigne wine in Hong Kong. Feigning reluctance, Robert agreed and hurriedly signed all the documents Alexander put in front of him. He opened his safe and he handed over the deeds to the vineyard property. And just as he was about to close the safe door, Alexander put his arm across it, blocking it from closure. Now, this I can see in a movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Inside, there were more vineyard documents and two thumb drives labeled. And
what a scummy guy.
I know. And do books 1 and 2.
Mm.
Mm. You think that's the accounting?
Yeah, I was going to say, one for the accountant, one for us.
Alexander gathered everything into his bag, closed it, and he started to walk away and then stopped. Turning back to Robert, his last words were ominous and threatening. And this is a little bit of a quote from Alexander to Robert. "If there's anything missing, anything, it will be my pleasure to testify and move against you in ways that you can't even imagine." Then she continues on. She says, however, what Robert did not realize was that Marcus, the production manager, had already implicated him in the other and more serious crimes, the most notable of which was the counterfeit wine.
So he thinks he's getting away with most of it, but not really.
Wow.
So much for family love, huh?
Jesus. Oh, wow. Claire says, "I am amazed by all that has happened. And as I recount this wild night and then the day that followed, I'd love to read what the other wine merchants have written in their diaries about the operation." What are they thinking about tonight? How did Alexander feel walking away from his cousin with all the deeds? What's Annalise's perspective? And I'm sure of one thing. Brigitte will not get much sleep tonight. She's probably there with Annalise at the kitchen table, reliving every detail. And meanwhile, I'm feeling strangely calm and have not a single worry or concern as I watch Alexander sleep on the couch with Remy by his side. They're getting along nicely. I guess he's become part of our pack. Alexander, that is. I need some sleep now. We all do.
That's it? That's
it. Too.
Wow. What a day, huh? What a few days.
A little side note observation. She's watching Alexander sleep.
I was gonna mention that. So well, how do you get on that couch again?
Yeah. Well, that's okay. We don't know anything. Let's not jump to conclusions. Well, a few things. We don't know much at all about Robert, do we?
No, we don't know. Oh, so, we do know a little bit about him. Well, there was a mention about him a few episodes back.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the cousin. Alexander and Robert are cousins who jointly own the vineyard.
Right, but they
run
outnumber Alexander, and they're like, yeah, no, we're not going to do your organic thing, and they're off and running doing their thing, right? I think I remember him saying Robert didn't know a risk he wouldn't take or a bet he wouldn't make or that kind of crazy behavior.
Well, the fact that he was so quick to sign off on the deeds tells you that he thought he was getting a better deal than he actually
Absolutely.
Was going to get.
Yeah, he's
end.
Like, oh, yeah, sure. I'll agree to that.
Yeah.
That's all you want?
Until we get to part two of all of this.
I think that Alexander's not going to be satisfied with this.
No, I don't think so at all.
At the end of the day, his reputation has been harmed because this junky wine went out under his label. Mm. So they're going to have to do something about, you know, fixing. They need to hire a PR firm.
Hello, Grace. One of those reputation-saving firms.
Yeah,
right?
They need an Olivia Pope or someone.
Yeah.
And his other problem is that El Delavine, one of her things for the instructions for the wine merchant was she wants all of the counterfeit wine. That was her one thing. You've got to bring me this wine. So it's not hers, but I mean, there's a big legal question here. But if it's floating around in bottles with her label on it, she can claim it as hers. Mm. You know, Laurent's position on that is it should be put right into the sewer with, you know, it's only going to cause a problem. So I see that as an issue. He's going to lose all this wine that was an exceptional vintage.
Here. Yeah.
You know, he was out promoting his wine. He was so proud of it. It was organic and he's in a funny place now.
But isn't his wine sitting in pallets without labels? Didn't Brigitte do something with the labels? His wines are unlabeled. They would send the wines back because you have to have labels on the wine.
Yeah, something
so they
about
will
that.
Identify
yeah.
what that wine is that's sitting on those pallets.
Yep.
That has yet to be, like, what happens
Yeah, but
to that?
he doesn't know what Brigitte has done.
Oh,
He's
I know,
not
I
a
know.
Party to any of that.
They still have to figure out.
As far as the Delavine case file is concerned, they know that it's Alexander's wine. They mm-hmm. know who has put the wine in the bottle under the Delavine label. And they know where the junk wine came from that was under Alexander's label. So they've basically sorted everything out. And now it's the aftermath that has to be dealt with. What happens now?
Tying up the loose ends.
I don't even think her reputation gets dented. You know, these great wines get counterfeited all the time. It almost adds to their mystique and their reviewed status. It'll make a great story for one of the wine, you know, those fancy wine publications, the Architectural Digests of the wine business.
And
some of those magazines are beautiful. They do like these quarterly.
Like the Wine Spectator.
Yeah, yeah. But even fancier than that, you almost... almost like a book that come out a couple few times a year. They're basically promotional pieces for some of the better vineyards, obviously. Yeah, this is all going to play out pretty...
Well, I think the other thing is Claire, I guess, in her sitting there looking at, you know, the dog and Alexander sleeping on the couch, this is not what she had intended. She thought she was going to have a nice little, you know, a nice little business when she left the box.
Yeah,
the
I think she thought
company.
She'd do a little bit of this work and a lot of bit of what she liked. I don't know. She needs to get back into that world that she intended.
But this is kind of intriguing, too, though.
Yeah, unintended consequences.
Unintended consequences.
Is that what we're saying?
That's a good one. I love this one. This is great.
Yeah, I'm excited about the next episode. Hurry up. Let's tie up all the loose ends. Anyway. Well, that, my friends, as they say, brings this diary entry to a close.
We hope you're enjoying it as much as we are.
Yeah. Well, you can go back, you can listen, you can brush up on the recollection of the story if you want. Listen to any of the episodes. They're all there on the website. You can find them. The text,
the pictures,
the podcast,
everything.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Ted.
And we'll see you next time when we're
back at the mic.